Thank you for listening to Cabo Community Radio. My name is Sam Bowman. This is part of an ongoing series of reports about the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC, and its influence in Oregon politics. ALEC is a self-described nonpartisan partnership of state legislators and private sector members that works to produce model bills that legislators can introduce in their home states. Despite its claims to nonpartisanship, ALEC's membership is overwhelmingly Republican, as are the model bills it produces. For years, its members have admitted the organization's strong right-wing bent. Its model legislation touches on such lightning rod issues as immigration, energy deregulation, voter identification, the privatization of prisons and schools, and gun rights, including the extremely controversial Stand Your Ground laws that rose to notoriety after the shooting of unarmed black teenager Trayvon Martin and the exoneration of his killer George Zimmerman under Florida's version of the law. In some states, for example Arizona and Wisconsin, ALEC bills flood state legislatures every year. In Oregon, the situation is not quite so drastic, but ALEC still has a genuine presence here. ALEC operates at the state level through the leadership of public sector and private sector state chairs. In Oregon, the public sector's chair is Republican Representative Gene Wisnant of Sun River, and the private sector chair is Paul Cosgrove, a lobbyist with the Portland law firm Lindsay Hart. Representative Wisnant spoke to KABU reporters at ALEC's Spring Task Force Summit in May. Mr. Cosgrove has not responded to requests for an interview. Here's Wisnant talking about his role to KABU reporters Mike Klepfer and Yana Maximova.
You know, our Oregon private chair is Paul Cosgrove, but he's not here. Yeah. Each state has a public chair and a private chair. Mm-hmm.
What does it
I'm supposed to recruit members, recruit members and people to come to the meetings. And that's the main thing, is we try to get members. And before the attack, we were up to about 22 members out of 90 is not too bad.
The role of the private sector chair is similar. According to documents leaked to the Guardian newspaper last year, they are tasked with recruiting new private sector members. Both state chairs solicit donations to the state's reimbursement fund, an account from which state legislators may be reimbursed for registration, travel, lodging, and other fees associated with attending ALEC conferences. It is not easy to track Oregon legislators' ALEC activity. In 2012, Representative Wisnant supplied a list of 22 legislative members to the Oregonian in the wake of ALEC's increased media notoriety. Of those 22, only 7 have used their campaign committees to pay for ALEC-related expenses, meaning that the transactions can be seen on the Secretary of State's campaign finance reporting disclosure website called Oristar. The others must have paid their membership dues out of pocket. Oristar, by the way, represents one of the most transparent contribution and expenditure reporting systems in the country, and yet it is still far from user-friendly and is frequently glitchy and slow. Other ways of tracking the public flow of money in Oregon include lobbyist expenditure reports and the statements of economic interest filed by public officials, both available by request from the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. It is especially tricky to trace the connection between ALEC member legislators and ALEC member companies, aside from the fact that they spend plenty of quality time together behind closed doors at the 3 annual conferences. Numerous ALEC member corporations have made donations to Oregon ALEC member legislators. However, explicit connections between the two are easy to assume but hard to confirm. ALEC member corporations donate to non-member legislators as well, including many Democrats, and ALEC member legislators get plenty of contributions from non-ALEC affiliated companies. Some of the biggest ALEC corporations who give money in Oregon are Anheuser-Busch, Union Pacific, Comcast, ConocoPhillips, PacifiCorp, AT&T, Eli Lilly, Monsanto, Johnson & Johnson, Waste Management, Chevron, Liberty Mutual, the for-profit education company K-12, and tobacco giants Reynolds American and Altria, which includes the company formerly known as Philip Morris. There are many more. While sometimes a contribution from one of these corporations will closely follow an ALEC conference and even fall on the same day in a few cases, in the large part they are made year-round and tend to cluster around elections and legislative sessions. Again, Representative Wisnant.
But I don't have staff. And in a day's time, I may be looking at road issues, health care issues, safety issues, police issues. I have no, I don't have a staff to research and do that stuff. And that's why the lobby becomes your staff. Because every issue, there's going to be someone supports it and opposes it. And they come into my office. I've never refused anyone in my office to come in and hear from them. Some I know that I'm not going to agree with their position. But they come in, I listen to them, and make my decision. What's best for Oregon and the people I represent.
One of the issues, maybe you can dispel this for us, that people have in terms of ALEC isn't direct giving. It's not like somebody from Altria, for instance, is going to come with pockets full of money and just hand it out. Like, that never happens.
I get money donated to me from them every year, but it comes through Mark Nelson.
Exactly.
He represents them, or Gary Oxley represents the other tobacco company.
It's not based
upon ALEC.
Right. At ALEC, it's not that they're doling out cash and gifts to people. Like, everyone knows that. But
they do support some of our functions and some of our lunches, just like it happens at NCSL and CG and Council of State Government, CSG.
Despite the local and bipartisan nature of Oregon political contributions by corporations, there is still plenty of suspicion directed at ALEC, with some observers accusing them of facilitating tax and disclosure-exempt lobbying. Wisconsin State Representative Chris Taylor is one of the few ALEC members from the Democratic Party. She attends ALEC conferences as a sort of open mole, describing her experiences in left-wing publications such as The Progressive. Here is Representative Taylor speaking in Kansas City about the nature of the interactions between legislators and corporate representatives at these events.
This is a political machine. ALEC is a powerful, well-resourced political machine. When I was at that ALEC conference, so many of these right-wing policy groups who were there told me, here's my car, call me anytime. I can get you anything you need to pass these bills. We have the talking points. We have the research. We have the money to get these bills passed. So they are well-oiled, well-financed political machine. And it was a shock to me. I actually started feeling quite sick to my stomach when I realized how effective they are doing what they're doing. These corporations dominate at ALEC. It's not the legislators who dominate. Every discussion that I witnessed, when there was a disagreement at the end of the day, it was a corporation, it was their representative that carried the day, that really decided what was going to happen with these model bills. So make no mistake about it, you might have legislators in the room. Legislators are the mere foot soldiers. That's all they are. And we were admonished and really encouraged to go out and pass these bills. And in exchange, we were promised bundled campaign contributions and grassroots support for doing it.
The central question about ALEC is this: how does an organization that many feel is lobbying under the nose of the IRS and state ethics boards maintain its status as a tax-exempt charity? Among other things, 501c3 status exempts ALEC from reporting any lobbying expenditures or releasing its membership information, but they are also, in the words of the IRS, quote, absolutely prohibited from directly or indirectly participating in or intervening in any political campaign on behalf of or in opposition to any candidate for elective public office, end quote. However, one entry in Oristar depicts ALEC engaging in the most unmistakable form of campaign intervention, directly contributing money to a candidate for the Oregon House of Representatives. This candidate was Medford Republican Sal Esquivel. Esquivel was an incumbent at the time, and the year 2009 was not an election year, but that doesn't matter. This is such a blatant violation of tax law that I assumed somebody on the receiving end must have made a mistake. According to a report issued by Common Cause Oregon in 2012, if ALEC were to lose its 501c3 status, it would put a significant damper on the large contributions that they receive from corporate interests, since contributions to a nonprofit are tax deductible. ALEC knows this too. In an email, their senior public affairs director Bill Meyerling told me, quote, Let me say once more, in no uncertain terms, Alec does not offer campaign contributions, end quote. In fact, it seems as though Alec is not really all that interested in making campaign contributions anyway. In documents leaked to the Guardian newspaper last year, Alec is shown developing a now operational 501c4 organization, the Jeffersonian Project. Even though 501c4s are allowed to make campaign contributions and other expenditures to influence politics, Alec makes no mention of contributions when discussing the Jeffersonian Project. Instead, the group is focused more on providing a less ethically troublesome avenue for corporations to donate to Alec's cause and still claim the tax deductions. Nevertheless, the single contribution to Sal Esquivel is a useful point of reference for understanding how Alec's money moves at the state level and how Oregon campaign finance reporting works in general. I called Rhonda Bohol, the treasurer of the Esquivel campaign, who told me that the alleged contribution was made before she understood Alec's scholarship programs, in which legislators who attend Alec events can be reimbursed up to a certain amount. She said that the contribution was a reimbursement for Esquivel's expenses at that year's annual meeting at the Hyatt Regency in Atlanta. Wisconsin's Representative Taylor explained the scholarship program and the nature of Alec events to Mike and Yana in Kansas City.
All of the alcohol and the food was paid for legislators. Legislators come to these Alec conferences, and first of all, most of them have gotten a corporate-funded scholarship that comes through Alec, but it is from the corporations. They pay for it. And then legislators get here, and they're wined and dined, and they hobnob with lobbyists and big industry executives and people who will probably become their campaign donors.
Orastar shows several Oregon legislators receiving reimbursements from Alec. Representatives Esquivel, Wally Hicks, and Sherry Springer, Senator Bill Hansel, and former Representatives Matt Wingard, Linda Flores, and George Gilman. However, these were all labeled as reimbursements, whereas the contribution to Esquivel was unlabeled. Scholarships are capped at even amounts, $500, $1,000, which is why it is not unlikely that the $500 contribution to Esquivel was simply a misfiled reimbursement. It appears that that is in fact the case. However, when we spoke, Esquivel's treasurer emphatically told me that it is not illegal for a 501c3 to make political contributions, as long as they are under a limit and they report them on their Form 990 when they file their tax returns. This isn't true. 501c3s are expressly forbidden by the IRS from giving money to a political campaign under threat of losing their tax-exempt status. Among other things, this is an illustration of a problem with Oregon campaign finance reporting. Individual filings are not vetted by the Secretary of State's office as long as the forms are filled out correctly. For example, no description or purpose is required when filing a cash contribution, but other transactions do require them. For example, all expenditures require a short explanation, which is why we can see legislators using campaign funds to pay for airline tickets, hotels, and meals explicitly related to Alec conferences. Sometimes when legislators don't pay money directly to Alec, it's still possible to place them at a conference using these incidental purchases. For example, former Representative Matt Wand, a Troutdale Republican, never used his campaign to pay registration fees for Alec's 2011 State and Nation Policy Summit in Scottsdale, Arizona, but he did use it to pay for a hotel room in Scottsdale at the time with the simple explanation, lodging/conference. When I showed the contribution to Esquivel to an investigator with the Oregon Department of Justice's Charitable Activities Division, he said it was illegal, but not in their jurisdiction. When I filed a formal complaint with the IRS, I received no response, and regulations prohibit them from disclosing the progress of an investigation anyway. This is a familiar story. Back in 2012, the watchdog group Common Cause submitted a wide-ranging whistleblower complaint against Alec to the IRS. Their vice president for policy and litigation, Aaron Pearson, spoke to me about the fate of that complaint.
We filed an IRS whistleblower complaint against Alec for tax fraud, for allowing corporations to contribute money to them and obtain tax deductions and claiming on their tax forms that they do zero lobbying when, in fact, we had a lot of evidence about them doing lobbying. We turned in close to 5,000 pages of documents from whistleblowers and open records requests documenting their lobbying.
What's the current status of that investigation?
So because it was filed as a whistleblower complaint, the IRS is obligated by law to investigate. So we know they're looking into the complaint, but we don't have any idea, you know, what's happening until they reach a conclusion. So it's pretty much a black box in the meantime.
It's up to the Esquivel campaign to file an amended transaction correcting the mistake, but as of this broadcast, it's still there as transaction number 600653. Cable Evening News, this is Sam Bowman. This piece includes additional reporting by Mike Klepfer, Yana Maximova, Don Merrill, and Sam Smith.